This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. You know the couple pictured on the Woodstock album from 1969? Well, I ran into them this week and talked about what happened 46 years ago. But first, Jon Stewart, of all people, is going to host WWE's SummerSlam this Sunday. It's his first major gig since leaving The Daily Show August 6th, after 16 years as the show's host. The four-hour event airs live from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn at 7 p.m. on the WWE Network. A Twitter feud started this week when Zayn Malik retweeted a user who posted side-by-side quotes on the music industry from Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus. The quote from Taylor is from her decision to remove her music from Spotify. The quote from Miley said, "I've made my money. If no one buys my album, it's cool." Calvin Harris saw the tweet as a dig and tweeted Zayn directly. "You've made your money, cool, but 99% of musicians who depend on these services to survive, right? Screw them. If you don't get what it means when successful artists use their celebrity to benefit every other musician and songwriter in the industry, stay out of it. While you kids are voting for Teen Choice Awards or are some poor people in basements making their new favorite record trying to survive, meaning stay out of things you don't understand." Zayn fired back, said, "You just made an absolute fool of yourself. You clearly didn't understand what I just said, so I suggest you calm your knickers down before your dentures fall out." Calvin then tweeted, "All good. It was the quote, not you personally. Best of luck. Genuinely, you've got a great voice." And Tracy Morgan will host Saturday Night Live on October 17th. It'll be Morgan's first big appearance since last year's horrific car accident that left him critically injured and killed a friend of his. Amy Schumer hosts SNL the week before him, and Miley Cyrus the week before that in the season premiere, October 3rd. Kelly Clarkson and husband Brandon Blackstock are expecting their second child together. The 33-year-old superstar announced the news during her Piece by Piece tour at the Staples Center on Wednesday night in Los Angeles. Kelly told the crowd, "I was not planning on announcing this. I'm totally pregnant." Nick and Bobby Urquhart are known as the Woodstock couple, the young man and woman hugging each other wrapped in a blanket amid the crowd at the Woodstock Music Festival back in 1969. 46 years later, to the day that photo was snapped, I got a chance to talk to the Woodstock couple.
All right, so we're here with Nick and Bobby, the folks from the iconic Woodstock cover. First of all, Bobby, do you remember that day or much about it?
The day that we were at the concert, sure, I remember parts of it. And having relived it for the last 46 years, there are some moments that stick out in my mind.
Well, some people say if you remember anything about Woodstock, you really weren't there. So, but I guess you remember some things.
Some things. How's that?
The beginning, and the end. Now, the middle, not so much.
Now, that photo has become this generation's Times Square sailor kissing nurse photo, really.
By the way, that sailor and that nurse, that's my mother and father.
Not true.
All right. You had me going there for a minute. I just saw them on TV the other day. They tracked them down. But you guys remained a couple all these years, Nick?
It's a long story, a short story. I'll give you a short version. I used to be a bartender in a bar in Middletown called Dino's, very famous bar back then. And my waiter was going out with Bobby at the time, and he placed her in front of me and asked me to keep an eye on her. So I've been keeping an eye on her for the past 46 and a half years.
Well, that's a commitment right there.
That's a true story.
So was this photo, the iconic photo that we see on the Woodstock album of you two wrapped in a blanket, was that a staged photo or a candid shot?
No, that was candid. We absolutely did not know they were taking that shot at all. That was just, I don't even remember them taking or even know when they did it. My assumption is it was like early Sunday morning, like around dawn when the light was first coming up. But other than that, we don't remember any of that.
And how did you first learn that you were on the cover when you saw the photo?
Exactly. When the album came out, probably early winter, beginning of 1970, the original five who had gone up with us, we were sitting around listening to music. One of them, Jim Corcoran, Corky, he's the Marine laying to our right on the ground, he bought the album. And what we did at first was we noted the butterfly on the front cover. That butterfly, as we were going into the site, we came across a young guy who was having a very bad trip on something, higher in a kite and just in distress. He had a pair of cutoff jeans on and nothing else, and a stick with that orange butterfly on it. He was crying and carrying on. I'm Herbie from Huntington Beach, California. I've lost the group I'm with. Help! We hooked arms with him, brought him along with us. We kept him with us for quite a while. I don't remember him leaving us. I don't remember what happened to him. But he left his butterfly with us. And that's what first caught our attention. And then, of course, you know, we looked at the whole cover and we realized it was us.
Well, that was really the spirit of Woodstock, though. You helping him out, a guy in distress. It was just one big communal gathering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a nice way of putting it. I like that thought. Thank you.
And, you know, my Woodstock story, I was going out with a girl who owned a place in Goshen called the Mother Goose that did catering.
I remember that.
You remember that?
No, that's...
Because you were local kids that went to Woodstock. There were kids from all over the world. And so she called me up. She says, I have a part-time job for you this weekend. It was the Woodstock weekend. And, of course, you couldn't get anywhere near the place on the Quickway or Route 17, as it's known. And so she said, we're going to make sandwiches, and they're going to fly them in by helicopter. So if you had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at any point that weekend, I had a hand in making it.
Probably got to, they were gone before they got to us, I'll tell you that right now. We were lucky to get some Chiquita bananas and maybe some Wonder Bread.
Well, we made about 20,000 sandwiches on a big catering table where one person put down the bread and then the jelly and then the peanut butter and all that. And I think we made 20,000 of them, and I haven't had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich since.
I can understand that.
So what did you go to Woodstock for? Was it the music?
Well, actually, we hadn't intended on going. But because at the time I lived in Middletown and worked at the bank, Nick was from Middletown. He lived there as well. He worked two jobs and was going to college. We had a group of friends who we hung out with, and we were being bombarded with advertisements for the Woodstock concert, because originally it was going to be held in the town of Walk Hill, which is in Middletown. Once that community realized that it would have 50,000 plus people, they changed locations. So we were aware that it was coming. We hadn't planned on going. But the Friday of the concert, as we sat around listening to the radio and we were hearing all the updates of the traffic and the excitement, the announcer said, if you're really planning on coming, don't. We had to. We were 20. So we thought we'd run up and check it out and see what was happening.
Unbelievable. And of course, the story of the cover shot and the iconic Woodstock album is only made better by the fact that you two guys are still together. I mean, that's incredible.
We have a really good chemistry together. We're best friends. We're a regular average couple. We have our arguments and, for the most part, choose our battles. Bobby chooses her battles more than I choose mine. And it just works together. I love her to death. She's the love of my life, and that's the way it's going to be.
All right, so now what did happen to the blanket? I suppose that just got lost in all the shuffle?
Well, we picked the blanket up at the site. People were discarding everything alongside. They didn't want to carry it any longer. They just threw it off the site. We had the essentials to go there. We had a couple of cases of Budweiser and a couple of bottles of Vin Rosé Bally High and whatever else, you know, the cheap stuff, what we could afford, and had nothing to sit on. And, after the torrential rains, the place was a mud pit. So we picked this blanket up alongside the road and carried it in, and that's what we sat on. Kept it for... at least a decade after that, and we took it to beaches and picnics and used it all the time. And then I got the bright idea one time, because I was a young carpenter working in Rockland County and traveling down there every day, driving a Volkswagen. Cold in the wintertime, especially with all the wind and everything else getting in.
The rust and the wind whistling through his hair.
And all that stuff. I got the bright idea of taking that blanket in the front of the Volkswagen to block the wind and rain, and the road salts got to it and ate half of it up, and I was like, okay, that's the end of that blanket. Not knowing or thinking about how important it would become, because at the time, it was not a big deal. I mean, it's not nostalgic yet, and so that's why I used it that way. And I think it's in some landfill someplace now.
What was your favorite performance at Woodstock? Do you remember your favorite, Bobby?
That she saw or that she seen, and that she actually saw? Yeah, that's a different question.
You could see the lights, and we could hear the music and the announcements, but you had to move from that spot to actually see the performers.
You know, I mean, Mountain was there late afternoon. Sly and the Family Stones came on. Joni Baez was going. There's so many performers there. And we left Middletown at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we got back to Middletown sometime Sunday late morning, early afternoon. I don't remember, something like that. So it's just, you know, it's kind of a blur as to the best, you know, but they were all great. They were all great.
I heard you say to some other people that were here visiting you today that you do go to the Bethel Woods Center, which is the original site of Woodstock, right?
Yes, it's a beautiful venue. I think that Bethel Woods has been respectful to the spirit of Woodstock. It is a magnificent place to go and enjoy.
I think if you're local and you love music, I think there's no reason or no excuse in the world not to go to Bethel Woods to see what they've done up there and listen to a concert. It's a great time. People are friendly, just like in keeping with the spirit of the site. You kind of, when you walk onto that site, you get that feeling kind of like overwhelms you when you walk in. It's really a really neat place to go.
With Nick and Bobby Urkeline, the Woodstock couple, I'm Mike Bennett. And you are listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Can the police legally search your home without a warrant? Yes, but can you think of an example? The final verdict after this.
Fall in love with your free 7-piece Lancôme gift only at Macy's. Receive Advanced Genifique plus other skincare and makeup favorites and a cosmetics bag with any $35 or more Lancôme purchase. Spend $70 or more and pick an additional trio while supplies last. Visit your Macy's Lancôme counter today.
Police can legally search your home if they're in view of contraband or evidence of a crime. They can also search without a warrant if the time needed to process a warrant could compromise potential evidence. And finally, if an officer is already arresting someone in your home, they can search it for weapons or evidence. So, don't believe all those cop shows you see on TV. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff, here is your young child having trouble sleeping through the night. Then let the sense of smell come to the rescue. Here's the science of it. Technically, the sense of smell is called olfaction, and it's so commanding that it goes straight to the part of the brain responsible for processing without a detour. Breastfed infants can identify their moms by smell as early as the sixth day of life. So, use smell to keep your child asleep.
You smell like peanuts. I love peanuts.
Say your child wakes up screaming. Well, after you comfort them, place something in the crib that smells like you. Your nightgown or any piece of clothing.
Ooh, I smell barbecue.
What's the chief psychological trick? The child will sleep through the night because they'll think a significant parent is right there with them. You can check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.